More than that, I wanted to taste him. I hadn't been able to taste the food I'd put in my mouth lately. Bland, salty, sweet. I couldn't differentiate the three. I could taste Derek, though. And he was one of the best flavors I'd ever had in my mouth. "God, you're delicious," I said, my tongue covered in a thick spit. He said nothing. Ordinarily, he would have made a comment about how fucking spicy my mouth was. But he stayed silent, other than the guttural moaning that told me how this was making him feel. Making him feel good was making me feel good. And it made me feel in control, the only thing I was in control of lately. I used my hands to stroke the base, which I could barely reach with my mouth, and met my knuckles in the middle. His hips moved with me, flexing up and shifting back. He was fucking my mouth, and it was making me so wet. He released my head and reached for my nipple. He wasn't gentle about it either, and I didn't want him to be. The rough, erotic movement caused me to groan. Every time I did, his breathing sped up.
"I need to be inside of you," he said finally, his hand sliding around my arms as he pulled me up. "Right now."
He flipped me onto my back, though I didn't stay flat for long. My legs were in the air, bent over his shoulders as my ass aligned with his waist.
"Always so fucking wet,"
he said as his thumb moved inside me. The pressure made me grind against it.
"Tell me you want my cock."
It stood erect in front of me. As I bit the corner of my lip, my gaze landed on his tattoo. White. Derek White. And my Derek Block. It seemed so long ago that I had learned its true meaning. It had only been less than a week. The truth hadn't changed the way I felt about him. "I want it," I said. "I want it more than anything." He added a second finger to plunge in and out of my wetness. My moans were getting louder, enjoying what he was giving me, begging him for more.
"Keep your eyes open, Frankie."
I moved my hands to my nipples, pulling them as hard as he had.
"I don't want you closing them at all. I want them on me. I want you in this moment and nowhere else."
I opened them, watching his lips move into a soft smile. It was there so briefly, and then it was gone. "I'm here, Derek." I had just enough time to take a breath before he drove his cock inside me. It filled me much more than his fingers and reached the deepest part of me. His thumb rubbed my clit, circling it as he swiveled his hips, and I pressed my head back into the bed.
"No,"
he snapped. The sound startled me and I looked up again.
"Eyes on me."
His gaze was so captivating it was easy to watch him.
"Tell me how it feels."
I observed the way his eyelids narrowed, the shape his lips made when he pumped into me. He gave me every bit of pleasure I desired. "It feels amazing. Everywhere."
"You want more?"
"Yes," I moaned. "Deeper." He lifted my legs off his shoulder, gripped my waist, and in one swift movement, I was straddling his dick, and he was on his back.
"Ride it, Frankie. Ride it until you're fucking quivering on top of me."
Keeping my eyes on him, I placed my hands on his stomach for balance, and I ground my pussy over him. The speed and pressure sparked a steady build inside me. Derek's thumb was back on my clit, another hand on my nipple. The pleasure now spreading from every region of my body. "Derek! Oh my God!"
"I want to feel you come. And after you do, I want you to just keep fucking me."
I rocked my hips back and forth as the orgasm shot through me. When I tried to slow, he grabbed my waist, pushing me to keep up the rhythm, not giving my body a chance to relax once the shuddering stopped.
"Fuck," he hissed. "You're sopping wet, and so goddamn tight."
My skin was so sensitive, but he didn't let up at all. If anything, he moved me faster, grinding into me as hard as he had at the beginning.
"I want you to come again," he demanded. "And when you do, I will."
His words brought me even closer, and so did his hands, which were now on my nipples, tugging the tingling buds.
My back arched as my hands pushed into his stomach. Harder, Frankie. Fuck it harder.
Derek's hips had stilled, and now I had the control back. I rode him as hard and as fast as my body would allow. Holding my breath, I took in every sensation, in my nipples, in my clit, in my pussy as it was filled with his cock. I'm there, I said. My moans bled into the air, and I felt myself unravel as his sounds began to join mine. It was such a deep, sensual tone. Then I felt his cum fill me, and I continued riding him until he grabbed my hips and lifted me into the air.
Jesus, he said, now on top of me, his mouth meeting mine. You can wake me up like that any time you want.
It just might be happening more often now.
I won't complain.
He had turned serious.
But Frankie, you need your sleep. I watched you drift off, so I know you got a little. What woke you?
I had tried to forget. Fucking Derek was part of that. But it was all back in my head now. A dream, I think. Or maybe it was a reminder of how empty I was now, how alone. Whatever it was, it had woken me with the echoing realization that I no longer had Anna in my life. He'd only been out of me for seconds, and already it was back. The numbness, the emptiness.
Was it a good one? He asked.
I shook my head. I don't think so. It was more like a nightmare.
I need to get you to relax again so you can fall back asleep.
I leaned forward so our lips were touching. You could fuck me again.
He laughed. Insatiable. I like it.
But he didn't like it enough to give me his dick. He got off the bed and picked me up into his arms, carrying me into the shower. He waited for the water to warm before he moved us under the stream.
You're so beautiful.
My feet were now on the ground and his hands were in my hair, holding my face straight. He kissed me across my cheek and over my forehead. Then he pulled me against his chest, wrapping his arms around my back to hug me. We didn't move. His warmth and the heat of the water passed between us, but we were frozen in that spot. Each time I felt myself weaken, he gripped me harder, holding me against him so I could feel even more of his body. And I did. Every part of his skin touching mine. But that was all I felt. There were no emotions, no feelings at all.
I'm going to release you, he finally said.
Do you have to?
I'm just going to wash you. When I'm done, my arms will go right back around you.
He pulled away to look at my face, his eyes demanding an answer.
Okay.
He squirted body wash into his palm, rubbing his hands together, and massaged the silky foam over me.
Close your eyes.
I did as he said.
And try to enjoy it.
I wanted to ask what he was going to do to me, and what he wanted me to enjoy. I hoped it was more sex or foreplay, anything to make the feeling return. But I didn't ask. I just leaned into the spray, letting it wash over my back as I tried to relax into Derek's movements. I barely felt his hands, or the water, or the steam that was filling the shower. But he was here, and he hadn't left me. Maybe I wasn't as alone as I thought. I had us. For now, that had to be enough.
7. Derek. Are you hungry? I asked Frankie when she answered the phone. I thought about sending her a text, like I would have done a few weeks ago, but I needed to hear her voice. I needed to know how she was feeling, or if she was feeling anything at all. Starving. After the week she'd had, I was relieved to hear that. Arranging Anna's burial, attending the funeral, cleaning out Anna's place, and then going back to work, trying to catch up on everything she had missed. It had been hell. She'd lost weight. Weight she didn't really have to lose. Bree had made sure Frankie's condo was well stocked with food, even with sweets. Frankie hadn't eaten any of it. I checked the time on my computer screen. It's only a little past 10. Can you wait until lunch? If I have to. There was sarcasm in her voice. It made me smile. Tell me what you're craving. You? Derek. Lots of you? She had been craving me all week, a steady need for constant sex. The woman had really become insatiable. And fuck, didn't I love every second of it. Dipping my cock into that wet pussy was my favorite part of the day. I knew how much she enjoyed it. I also knew that when I was inside her, she wasn't thinking about Anna. People dealt with grief in different ways. If she needed my dick to get over these dark emotions, then she could have it as much as she wanted. Your ass is going to get me, baby. I'm going to slap it so fucking hard, then I'm going to slam into it even harder. I'm wet. That's just the way I want you. Now tell me what you want to eat, and I don't mean my cock. She was silent for a second. Spicy tuna, a rainbow roll, and the biggest bottle of sake they have? Your rolls will be delivered around noon. No sake, and no you? Will appeared in my doorway. I waved him in and pointed at the chair in front of my desk. You're at work, aren't you? I checked the number I'd dialed to make sure it was her office line and not her cell. Yes, I'm in my office. Just have the delivery driver put the sake in a bag. No one but Bree will see it. I'm the delivery driver. In that case, forget the sake. You'll do just fine. I'll see you soon, Mr. Block. There was no longer any sarcasm in her voice. Now it was all seduction, the same tone she used when I gave her my tongue. I couldn't get enough of it. Luckily, I'd be hearing it soon. I'd listen to her beg while she ate her sushi. Then I'd tie my flannel around her mouth so her whole office wouldn't hear her screams. Goodbye, Ms. Jordan. I set the phone down, kicked back from my desk, and crossed a foot over my knee. Will shook the pad of paper in his hand. Did she give you her order? Spicy tuna and a rainbow roll. Let's do 5 or 6 more rolls for us and a few for Bree. Separate orders. I'll pick them up on my way to her office. He wrote it all down, then looked up at me. How's she doing today? About the same, but she says she's hungry. She's still burying it and acting like she doesn't feel it. I think she's hoping one day she'll wake up and Anna will be alive and this whole thing will have been some kind of hallucination. Shit. That's not good. Not at all, I agreed. I have an idea. He placed a folder on my desk. Take a look at what's in there and let me know if any of it sounds interesting. I opened the folder and scanned the first page. Any of them can be booked last minute. It might be what she needs. I flipped to the next sheet, reading the description and viewing each of the pictures. I'll think it over and I'll let you know after lunch, I said. It might have been what we both needed, actually. I saw Bree talking on the phone as I walked down the hallway to her office. As soon as she noticed me, she hung up and greeted me with a smile. For you? I said, placing one of the bags on her desk. When she opened it and looked inside, her smile grew. You didn't have to do that, but thank you. That's really so nice of you, Mr. B. Derek. Yes, Derek. She looked over at the other bag in my hand. Do you have everything you need? How about I grab you some drinks? I'd appreciate that. I'll bring some right in. I nodded and walked into Frankie's office. She was dressed in a suit, with the jacket now off and hanging over the back of her chair. She was leaning against her desk, reading whatever was on her computer screen. She looked put together. Gorgeous. But I knew something was off, even as her gaze slowly moved across the room and finally found me. There was a struggle in her eyes. She was trying to find her footing in a world without Anna. You're the sexiest delivery boy I've ever seen. Her eyes didn't light up like they normally did. She meant what she said. She just didn't feel it in the same way. Get over here. I need your lips. Bree walked in behind me. Can the lips wait until I leave, please? She put 2 bottles of water and 2 bottles of soda next to the sushi. As she hurried out, I leaned across Frankie's desk and kissed her. Her lips were fucking delicious. I could have easily swept everything off her desk and spread her legs in front of me. She would have been a better lunch than any food I could ever put in my mouth. But the point of me being here was to get her to eat. I pulled away and took the containers out of the bag. setting them between us and handed her a cup of soy sauce and a pair of chopsticks. Then I sat down across from her. Will ordered a little of everything. Eat. She dipped a piece of tuna into the soy sauce. There's enough here to feed half my office. You said you were starving. She covered her mouth with the back of her hand. I also told you I wanted your dick, but you haven't given me that yet. I loved hearing her say things like that. Food first, I said. She wrapped her lips around a chunk of salmon. Thank you. Please thank Will for me, too. I could tell she wasn't tasting any of what she was eating. She was just going through the motions, shoving it into her mouth because I wanted her to, because it was what she needed. That was fine, for now. But the intensity, the passion, I needed to help her find them again. What do you have going on next week? I asked. She took another bite and shifted her eyes over to her computer screen. A few closings, showings scattered throughout the week, nothing too major. Why? I want to take you away. Her brows rose. How far away? The papers Will had given me were of all different destinations, some rural, some urban, some far, some near. They all looked relaxing, entertaining, distracting. She would probably have enjoyed any of them, but there was one she would love more than the others. Napa. She dropped her chopsticks. You want to take me to Napa? Have you been? Once, but it was only a day trip, a quick layover on my way to Hawaii. I didn't get to see much. I'd like to go for a week, I explained. We'll spend half in Napa, half in San Francisco. There it was, the light. It was bright while it lasted, illuminating the gunmetal pools that stared back at me. I would love that. As I chewed, I watched it fade. Check with Bree first and see if you can make it happen. She picked up her phone. Hey, can you clear next week's schedule? Derek has something fun planned. I smiled, surprised she'd moved so fast. I hadn't expected that. I knew then how much she really wanted to go. You're fabulous, she said, laughing at Bree. Okay, I'll tell him. She hung up and grabbed her chopsticks. My schedule will be clear, and Bree says you need to come for lunch every day. She must like the sushi. She also likes the way you make me feel. I crossed my arms over my chest and leaned back in my chair, taking in the sight across from me. And how do you feel? I asked. A flush of red washed over her face. I think you know the answer to that. She winked and took a bite. While we ate, I asked her about work. I knew it was difficult for her to concentrate on her clients, but it was something to focus on besides Anna. Plus, it was something we had in common. Frankie knew about upcoming developments in the area, builders who were obtaining permits, land that would soon be going on the market. It was a language she spoke comfortably, and something that could help both our futures. I told her I wanted my next building in the Back Bay, and I wanted her to sell it exclusively. Even in the state she was in, she'd shown timber towers every day since returning to work. There were now 6 more units under contract from just her clients, another 3 from agents at Jordan International. She had negotiated prices that were higher than I was expecting. She'd even started a small bidding war on one. Losing Anna hadn't stopped her from getting business done. It was impressive. It also did nothing to restore her sense of life. When her office phone rang, I told her to answer it, and I cleaned up her desk. I tossed the empty containers, consolidated the others, and moved to the windows to check out the view. Under the semi-wall of glass was a shelf that held multiple bouquets, the cards still in their envelopes and clipped to the top of the flowers. They must have been from friends or colleagues sending their condolences. I turned to find her eyes on me. I pointed to one of the bouquets. Have you read the cards? I mouthed. She shrugged. I took that as a no and unclipped them all, placing the stack on her desk. She opened the first envelope as she spoke to her client, and as she read the card, anger flashed through her eyes. Anger she shouldn't have been feeling when reading a condolence card. She tried to drop it in the trash, but I stopped her and wouldn't let her pull her hand out of mine. Opening the card, I recognized the handwriting instantly. My heart was pounding so hard, I could feel it in my fucking ears. "Sorry to hear about Anna. I hear you loved her like a mother. A mother who took care of you, after your chance of being a mother was taken from you. Randy White." That motherfucker. He could tear me the hell down and hate me all he wanted, but reaching out to Frankie when she was weak and vulnerable was just malicious and cruel. It was a calculated move. It took things to a whole different level. With the card in my hand, I paced the back of the room. Frankie was concerned. I could hear it in her voice as she continued to speak on the phone. I felt it in her eyes as she watched me walk back and forth. She wasn't the only one who was worried. The bastard had said he had plenty more skeletons up his sleeve. I wasn't surprised he had gone this far. I needed to figure out a way to stop him. "Javier, I'm going to have to call you back," Frankie said and hung up. "Derek, wait." She walked across the room and clamped my arm as I reached for the door. I turned around, my hand still on the knob. "I have to go."
"Where?"
"I'm going to make sure he never contacts you again. He didn't threaten me, he was just being a dick. I can handle it." Handle it? I almost laughed. No, she couldn't. Not now. Not ever. No one would ever talk to her that way for as long as I could help it. She didn't need him taunting her when his real target was me. "It isn't something you should have to handle." I tried to calm the anger. She'd done nothing wrong, and I didn't want to take this out on her, but it felt impossible to level my tone. "This is my shit, and I have to deal with it. It shouldn't affect you." "If something affects you, then it affects me. Randy is in your life, Derek. That means he's in mine, too." "No, he'll never be in your life. I'm going to make sure of that. I just meant..." I took a deep breath, forcing myself to relax. "I know what you meant." I took a second breath, moving forward so I could touch her. "That man destroys everything he comes into contact with. I won't let him get close enough to destroy you."
"Don't get yourself in trouble."
The pain in her eyes deepened.
"I can't lose you too, Derek."
Seeing her this upset because of me, because of Randy, fucking killed me. I pulled her into my arms, tucking her head against my chest and pressing my lips to the top of her head. "I'm not going anywhere. If he's capable of destroying people, then what's stopping him from destroying you?" I squeezed her tighter. "I'm smarter than him."
"But what if he's more powerful? What if he has people working for him who can..."
I pulled away so I could look into her eyes. She needed to see my face, not just hear my words. "Nothing is going to happen to me, Frankie." Even though she didn't look persuaded, she didn't push the issue. When it came to Randy, I wouldn't cave. He could be the most powerful man in New England, and he could have an entire team backing him. There was still no way he could take me down.
"Randy isn't the only person who sent flowers."
"I know. I saw the other bouquets."
"Reed sent one too."
She paused to search my face. I assumed she was waiting for my reaction. This was not the time to bring up Reed, and she knew it. "Anna was a big part of his life when we were together." "I get it, but I didn't fucking like it. I wanted him to stay the hell away from her. That included flowers, cards, or whatever else he wanted to send. I didn't want to see or hear his name again." "You haven't spoken to him yet, have you?"
She shook her head.
"I haven't had the chance, but I'm going to soon. Really, really soon." She wrapped her arms around my waist and looked up at me.
"Kiss me."
My eyes traced those spicy lips. "So demanding." She cupped my cock over my jeans, her thumb moving up and down my shaft.
"Kiss me, Derek. I'm in no mood to be disappointed."
I growled, my nose gliding across her cheek, my lips following. If I really started tasting her, I wouldn't stop until her pussy was pressed against my lips. But I didn't have time to eat her the way I wanted to. "I'll kiss you tonight. Right now I really have to go."
Her body tightened. You have nothing to worry about, Frankie. I'll be extremely careful. You give me a reason to be. I ran my thumb over her chin. I'll see you tonight. I unwrapped her arms from my waist and pulled the door open. Should I bring dinner? I know how much you love when I'm your delivery boy. I was trying to lighten the moment, knowing she probably wouldn't eat dinner any more than she'd eaten lunch. A few bites and the rest in the fridge. She thought a minute. Let's go to the hole. I smiled. I'd like that. I said goodbye and shut the door behind me. Once I was inside my Suburban, I pulled out my phone and searched for Randy's name. It only rang once before he picked up. I've been expecting your call, son. What did I tell you about calling me that? The last time we had spoken on the phone, I hadn't raised my voice. My tone told him exactly how I felt. This time I couldn't control the sharpness or the volume. I was fucking pissed. Apparently I didn't get my point across because you're still calling me your son and you're still digging into my life. Frankie was the last fucking straw, old man. That's an empty threat, he scoffed, and we both know it. So why don't you just tell me what it is you want and all this will go away. Randy had no intention of going away at all. He wanted what I had. He wouldn't stop until he got it. I don't want anything, I told him. Bullshit. I have something that interests you. What is it? I almost laughed. You don't have shit. We both know that. Tell me, how many vases of flowers is it going to take before you confess? His voice took on a sharper edge. Or maybe I won't send flowers next time. Maybe I'll have one of my friends pay Frankie a visit. It does seem she likes men in the industry. A mortgage broker, a developer. I'm sure one of my foremen would like to show her a thing or two. If you or anyone else touches her, you're dead. I ground my hand over the steering wheel. Do you understand? Better than you think? Son. Listen to me carefully, Randy. If you get anywhere near her, I will hunt you down and I will drag a blade straight across your throat. This is between us. Let's keep it that way. Now you listen to me. It would be real unfortunate if Frankie were to become a victim because her boyfriend was too stubborn to admit the truth. There's only one way this will end, and it's in your hands. The phone then went dead. I stared at the blank screen while I tried to get my breathing under control. It was a good thing I wasn't driving, not with the anger that was boiling inside me. He wanted an admission, for me to tell him I'd been snooping around to find the evidence I needed to take him down. Confessing that wouldn't help, but telling him nothing had gotten people I cared about involved. This had to end. I pulled up Hayden's name and started a new text. Me. We need to talk. Hayden, what's going on? Me. He sent Frankie flowers. Now he's threatening her. Hayden. Oh, shit. Tonight, my place, 6 o'clock. Me. I'll see you then.
8. Frankie. I adjusted my purse as I scanned the bar, looking for his face. I'd intentionally arrived a few minutes late, so he would be here before me. I didn't want to wait for him, and I didn't want to stay long. Our eyes connected. He was sitting at a high top in the corner of the room. He looked relieved to see me, which told me he was worried I wouldn't show up. And I almost hadn't. Halfway there, I considered calling him and doing this over the phone, but I knew it wouldn't end if I did. I had to see him. I had to be sure he knew how serious I was.
It's nice to see you,
he said as I approached the table. He stood, his arms reaching out to hug me. His smell was wrong, his clothes were too formal. He must have thought it was his place to comfort me. It most definitely wasn't. I turned my body away from him and shook his hand. It was the only contact he would be getting. Let's get right into it. Then I continued moving into the seat across from his, holding my purse in my lap.
Can I start by saying how sorry I am about Anna?
No, Reed, I said firmly. You cannot. You're going to let me start, so I can say what I need to say. Then you can speak. He nodded, and that's when I noticed the glass of wine on the table. There was a tumbler of scotch in front of him. I wasn't here to drink, and I didn't need a crutch. I just needed to speak the truth. As much as I hate to admit it, even though we've been apart for quite some time, I haven't been ready to say goodbye to you. I was holding on to the idea of what we had, and what we lost. What we were when our baby was growing inside me, or what I thought we were at the time. He remained silent, surprisingly. But things were volatile, unhealthy. We weren't right for each other, and I was too close, too deep to see that. I pushed the wine to the middle of the table. I didn't even have the smallest desire to drink it. I hadn't realized opening up would feel this good. A child could never have fixed what was broken between us. Maybe it could have saved me, from work, from myself. But it wouldn't have saved you. And it wouldn't have saved us.
Frankie, let me finish, please.
His mouth closed again as I continued. I've carried around so much anger toward you. I couldn't understand why you would cheat on me, why you would risk ruining our relationship. And then I realized you didn't ruin anything. You just confirmed that it was gone. What we had was irreparable. It wasn't a relationship. It wasn't even a friendship. It was a partnership at best.
No.
He leaned over the table, his hands reaching for me. I hugged my purse, keeping mine away from him.
I don't agree. That's not true at all.
Reed, please.
I can't let you think our relationship wasn't real, Frankie. I've never loved anyone like I loved you.
He gripped the edge of the table near me.
I still love you.
He loved me? I didn't want to hear that, nor did I believe it. My stomach turned queasy, the sickness spreading to the rest of my body. This was the first time I was actually feeling something honest and non-sexual since Anna's death.
I was committed to you, Frankie, he continued. I was ready to marry you.
If that were true, you wouldn't have slept with Hayden. He let go of the table and grabbed his scotch.
I know you're not going to understand this, but she meant nothing to me. There were no feelings involved, no need beyond what was happening in that moment. I was drunk. It happened. It was you I loved, the whole time.
The sickness in my stomach began to settle as I started to laugh. You're right. I don't understand. Because I don't give my body to men I don't care about.
Frankie.
He ran his hand through his hair. Please. I'm not angry with you, Reed. And I don't hate you. I released my bag, not needing to hug it anymore. I've let you go. It's time for you to let me go, too.
No. That's not what I want. I want to be with you.
It's what you think you want. What you think you should have because it's something you can't control.
You're wrong.
I knew what I was about to say was going to hurt him. Maybe that was the point. In the end, I'm actually grateful for you. Had I not been with you, not learned how to recognize an unhealthy relationship, or that I should be made a priority, I wouldn't be able to appreciate the relationship I have now. He slammed down his glass. Derek is in my life now, Reed. He's who I want to be with. My voice remained calm.
Fuck him.
I do, I thought. And fucking him is so much more enjoyable and sensual than fucking you.
Do you love him?
He knew how hard it was for me to say those words, how long it had taken me to say it to him. Maybe he didn't deserve an answer, but I was going to give him one. There was no reason to hide it anymore. Yes, I love him. He crossed his arms over his chest, sitting taller in the chair.
You have no idea who you've gotten in bed with. You didn't even know his real name until I told you. That motherfucker could be—
I raised my hand to cut him off.
I don't want to hear it. Who I get into bed with, who I give my heart to, is no longer your concern. I'm not letting you go, Frankie.
You don't have a choice, Reed. I slid my bag over my arm, holding the strap to my shoulder. I'm already gone.
No.
He stood and started moving toward me. I stood as well, making sure the chair stayed between us. I think it's best if we don't partner on any more deals. I'm going to introduce you to an agent who I think you'd work well with. If you'd rather partner with a different agency, I understand. Either way, you and I will no longer be working together. He gripped the back of the chair.
You don't have to do this.
I should have done it a long time ago.
He's going to break your heart, you know. Once he doesn't need you for business anymore, he's not going to want you for pleasure either.
That's a risk I'm willing to take. I stood directly before him. Once I walk out of this bar, we're finished. And so are you and Derek. No more texts, no more phone calls, to either of us. Please respect my wishes, Reed. He was trying to hide the emotion in his face. Because I knew him so well, I could see it. I could almost feel it. At one time, it would have crippled me. It didn't have that effect anymore.
I'm going to miss you, he said.
I couldn't say the same. He'd hurt me enough. It was time to move on. I felt that even more when we locked eyes. There was nothing left. Goodbye, Reed.
Nine. Derek. It's done, she said, her lips meeting mine as her body fell into my hands. Reed won't be bothering us again. She didn't taste like wine or tears. She tasted like coconut and amber and desire. She reached beneath my shirt and clutched my skin. If there had been more room in our booth at the hole, I had a feeling she would have tried to do more. My cock hardened at the thought of it. Are you okay? I asked. I'm fine. She paused, smiling as she rubbed her ass over my lap. And it went as well as expected. She'd texted me on her way to meet him. I didn't like the idea of it any more than I had when I was in her office, but I hadn't stopped her, or even tried to. It was her closure, and she needed it. I was just glad she'd gotten it over with and had returned safely. I searched her eyes. There was something she wasn't telling me. By not giving me any details, it made me wonder what the motherfucker had said to her. He tried to get you back, didn't he? He said he wanted me back, but he didn't act on it. I couldn't stop my teeth from grinding. What else do I need to know? She got up from my lap and moved to the other side of the booth. He might have told me he loved me. Frankie, don't, please don't. She took a drink from the wine I'd ordered her. It's over with. He won't be bothering us anymore. I really don't want to keep thinking about it. If he contacted her again, then this wouldn't be over. Until that happened, I'd respect her wishes and I wouldn't bring him up. I knew dealing with Reed so soon after Anna couldn't have been easy. But you're okay? I confirmed. Yes, Derek, I'm okay. I actually feel a lot better. She grabbed my hand. How'd things go with Hayden? She says they're close to pressing charges, but they still have a few more victims to interview. They want to build the case as solid as they can in hopes that the judge will deny bail. They're also hoping to have enough evidence to prove financial fraud, which could possibly get his passport revoked in case bail is granted. Wow. How much longer, then? Not much. That's the only answer I got, and I'm not fucking happy about it. I brushed my thumb over her wrist. She was wearing the bracelet I loved. I wanted to flick my tongue across it, then run my teeth over the softest, most sensitive part of her flesh. You look delicious right now. Then why are we here and not home where you could be tasting me? So goddamn insatiable. My cock twitched inside my jeans, pressing so hard against my zipper it was starting to ache. We can go, but I have to tell you something first. She drained the rest of her wine and called the waitress over. Can I get you anything else? The waitress asked. Just the bill, Frankie said. How about one more round? I suggested. Frankie looked at me. My eyes told her it's what we both needed, and she didn't argue.
"One more round coming up," the waitress said.
Frankie waited for her to leave our table before she spoke.
"Something tells me I'm not going to like what you're about to say."
I had talked to Hayden about my idea just to get a second opinion. After everything that had happened, she agreed it was necessary. I had no idea how Frankie was going to react.
"Until Randy is behind bars and I know he can't hurt you, you're going to have a bodyguard."
She tilted her head back and laughed.
"You're funny."
"I'm not joking."
Her eyes widened and she shook her head.
"No way. Not going to happen. That's completely crazy talk."
"It is going to happen, Frankie. You won't be going anywhere without him. His name is Dale, and he'll be at your condo tomorrow morning to escort you to work."
"Derek, what the hell is going on?"
My teeth were grinding again.
"I don't trust the motherfucker." I checked to make sure no one was listening. I was speaking louder than I'd intended. "I can't predict what he's going to do, and I can't protect you when I'm not with you. Randy isn't going to touch you. I'm going to make sure of that."
"There's something you're not telling me."
She was right, but there was no way I was going to tell her what Randy had said on the phone. It would scare her, and I didn't need that. I just needed her safe and protected, and I was ensuring both.
"Promise me you'll play nice with Dale. You'll follow his instructions, and you won't go anywhere without him."
"Is he coming to California with us?"
"No. I'll be in California. You won't need him then."
"So you've talked to Randy?"
"We talked, yes."
The waitress delivered our second round, and I gripped the cold beer between both hands.
"What does he want from you?"
"An answer."
"So give him one."
I stared at the amber liquid that swirled around the top of the glass.
"Tell him I'm trying to take him down? That my sister is building a case against him?"
"Tell him anything you want. Lie if you have to. Just get him to stop."
She was so sweet, so naive when it came to this kind of life. She'd seen dark, but she hadn't seen criminal. Lying wouldn't make him go away. It would only make him dig harder.
"Nothing will stop him, Frankie. Not even an answer from me, because he doesn't know what he's looking for. He just knows he'll keep searching until he's satisfied, and that probably won't happen until he takes me down."
"Block development, you mean?"
"That. And me."
"Oh my God."
I grabbed her hand again. I'd gone too far. I realized that now. I had to make this better, and then I had to take her to California so she could get her mind off everything.
"There's nothing to worry about. Dale is going to keep you protected, and I'm going to stay far away from Randy."
"You're getting a bodyguard too, aren't you?"
I smiled. Her mouth was so passionate, so full of worry. My tongue needed to be inside it.
"Come kiss me."
"Derek, I don't like this at all."
Neither did I. I hated that I couldn't control Randy's next move. The bastard needed a leash around his neck while I held the other end.
"It's going to be fine." I pulled at her hand.
"Kiss me.
Now."
She walked over to my side of the table and I shifted my legs out of the booth so she could sit on my lap.
"Let me do the worrying, okay? I don't want you thinking about any of this."
"That's impossible."
"It's not. I've got it handled.
Now fucking kiss me."
She was reluctant, but her mouth eventually found mine. I could feel in her kiss that I hadn't even come close to persuading her. She was worried about me. I was worried about her, and I had no answer from Hayden about how long this was going to last.
10. Frankie. "We're here," Derek said, turning at the small wooden sign. The hotel wasn't a name I recognized, and most of the chains I'd stayed at didn't end with the word inn. Leaving the wide street, we were now on a narrow, hilly path surrounded by olive trees. As we moved up the hill, the trees got denser, making it difficult to see the road below or what was ahead. After several minutes of climbing, he stopped at an old but well-maintained farm and shifted into park.
"I'll be right back."
Having hit thick city traffic as soon as we left the airport, it took us almost 2 hours to drive to Napa from San Francisco. I hadn't checked my phone since we'd taxied to the gate. Now that I was alone, I pulled it out. A text from Bree filled the screen. Bree. It was a fantastic sales day. No, I'm not emailing you the closing numbers or the amount of units under contract. I'm telling you to go have fun. I know you landed already, so I expect you to have a glass of wine in one hand and a dick in the other. Yes, I really did just type that. Me. The only thing in my hands is this phone. Bree. What the hell are you waiting for? Me. We're parked outside a farm. He's inside checking in, I think, and I'm outside texting you. Bree. Farm? Oh, God. Me. My thoughts exactly. Bree. This is Derek we're talking about. Don't doubt the man. Me. He is kind of perfect, isn't he? Bree. Text me later. After the wine and in between rounds of dick. I laughed just as Derek walked past the front of the rented SUV. I stashed the phone in my purse and popped the door open for him. He held two glasses of red wine and handed me one as he slid into the driver's seat. Cheers. He clinked his glass against mine. Cheers, I echoed. It was a rich Pinot Noir, full of blackberry and chocolate notes. This is delicious.
It's their house wine. Award-winning from what I've read.
You've read about their wine? He smiled as we meandered through the narrow street, the olive trees feeling even denser the higher we got.
I studied up on the property, yes.
I was impressed. I figured Will had booked this trip, and I still believed that. But Derek had taken the time to learn about the property and the wine they produced. He didn't enjoy wine nearly as much as I did, so I knew he was doing this all for me. He had his flaws, his secrets, a past that was dark and painful, but he truly was perfect for me. I reached for his thigh and held it as he turned at the fork and parked in front of a small private cottage at the end of the road. It had light blue siding and a porch. There were chairs near the front door that faced the olive trees. I felt his eyes run over my face as I took in the details of the home.
Not what you were expecting? He asked.
It's quaint. And extremely antique-looking, quite the opposite of the contemporary high-rises I was used to staying in. Those generally featured electronic curtains and televisions in the bathroom. I wasn't familiar with the accommodations in this town. My only other visit to Napa had been a day trip. This just didn't seem like a place I would have chosen for us. I was surprised Derek had.
My pink ivory.
He laughed before coming around to help me out of the SUV. When we reached the front door, he wrapped an arm around my shoulder and gently kissed me, his lips tasting of wine. The flavor was so much richer as it mixed with the taste of him. I leaned into his body, feeling the hardness of his chest against my skin. I wanted more. As I deepened our kiss, he pulled away.
Are you ready for this?
I'm not sure. I unwrapped myself from him and lowered my heels back to the ground. I've done the camping thing before, and I'm not so great at it. He laughed so hard he almost spilled the wine over my shoulder.
That's what you think this is?
My stare darted to the house. Isn't it? His eyes traced my lips.
That spicy fucking mouth.
He then pushed open the door and flipped on the light. I was stunned. Speechless. It was one of the most gorgeous interiors I'd ever seen. A small, modern home that had a hint of rustic chic like Derek's house in Portsmouth. There were beautiful coffered ceilings and a lush marble fireplace. The furnishings were inviting, with stylish cuts and warm tones. A sliding glass door ran the whole length of the kitchen and living room, showing a massive patio that had a built-in fire pit, wet bar, and jacuzzi. There was a small wooden section in the back of the patio that was blocked from our view.
It's an outdoor shower, he said,
his eyes meeting mine, reading my thoughts as usual.
So what do you think of our campsite?
His voice dripped with sarcasm, and a smile filled his sexy, bearded face. You're funny, He leaned forward and bit my bottom lip.
No, really, what do you think?
I think this place is absolutely amazing.
I know, it really is.
In my defense, the exterior is very deceiving. He set the wine on a side table and wrapped his hands around my waist.
Did you really think I'd take you across the country to go camping? I think I know my pink ivory a little better than that.
You could have corrected me.
It was more fun this way.
I wiggled out of his grip and wandered around the kitchen, running my fingers over the granite, taking in the design of the cabinets and the molding that surrounded them. The chandelier that hung over the dining room table looked like candles floating in balloons of glass. Inside the fireplace, gas flames licked up from a bed of white rocks. The bedroom was off the kitchen. The king-size mattress covered in the lightest blue spread that appeared as soft and fluffy as a cloud. Sheer panels hung over the windows, behind the bed, and across each wall, creating the most romantic setting I'd ever seen. A large bathroom finished off the room with a massive tub and walk-in shower, the walls and flooring done in small tiles that gave it a spa feel. As I moved the sheer panels to look out the bedroom window, Derek's hands wrapped around my navel. His beard brushed against the base of my neck. The view showed hill upon hill of grapevines, with light dirt paths between each row. It went as far as I could see.
Is it the way you remember it?
He asked. Nothing is the way I remember it.
Explain.
He sucked my earlobe into his mouth. It looks different, feels different, being here with you. I turned my face, pressing my cheeks against his rough whiskers. It smells different, too. Better. His hand dipped into my jeans, caressing the top of my pussy.
I've waited all day to taste this.
He moved me forward so my breasts were now pushing into the glass, my breath fogging it. The unforgiving surface rubbed against my nipples, turning them into hard, throbbing rocks. I need you, I moaned. I'd stayed up late doing paperwork the night before, after Derek had gone to bed. When I'd finally joined him, he looked too peaceful to wake. 2 days without his touch felt like months.
How badly, Frankie?
He rubbed his thumb over my clit.
How badly do you need me inside your cunt?
He pushed his dick against my ass and ground it into me. I tried to reach behind me and wrap my hand around it, but he clutched my fingers and slammed my palm onto the glass. My whole body is screaming for you, Derek. And it was. My folds pulsed with so much need it was difficult to breathe.
Your whole body.
My jeans dropped to my ankles. I stepped out of them, sliding out of my heels at the same time. His hand circled my lace panties, running over my ass, around to my clit and back. He wasn't applying any pressure. This was just a tease, enough of a statement to know where his fingers were, and to remind me how much I wanted them inside me. Yes, I replied. All of it. As my loud moans filled the air, I heard him unclasp his belt and drop his jeans to the ground. His hands then moved to my hips, tilting them toward him and flattening my back. I kept my fingers on the glass, using them to steady me and bear some of my weight. When I was positioned the way he wanted me, his hand returned to my pussy, and he circled my clit with a speed that made me even wetter. Derek, I breathed. You feel... I gasped when his bare dick pressed against me.
Tell me how I feel.
His finger moved inside, opening me just enough to fit him. My eyes closed as I clenched my fists against the glass. Oh my God, I moaned. More, please, more. He replaced his finger with the tip of his dick, rubbing it around the outside of my entrance.
Fuck, he hissed. You're fucking dripping.
Then he shoved himself inside me. I grunted as he filled me completely, tilting my hips as high as they could go, which gave him even more room to reach me.
And so tight, he groaned.
He thrust into me hard and fast, the top of my head banging into the glass. So he pulled me up and turned me around to face him.
I love the way sex looks on you.
His thumb brushed over my bottom lip.
All flushed and turned on. Needing my dick so badly it's all you can think about.
I realized then that my hand was on his cock, squeezing it and stroking my wetness over him. I couldn't get enough of it, even if it meant only holding it with my hand.
Take your shirt off.
I released him just long enough to lift it over my head.
Your bra, too.
Once I had it unhooked and dropped to the floor, he picked me up and wrapped my legs around him, thrusting right back into me.
Ah!
I screamed, digging my nails into his shoulders. While I clung to him, grinding him in the air, his mouth went to my nipples. He was just as forceful with them as he was with my pussy, driving into me with long, deep strokes, the muscles in his chest and stomach flexing with each pump of his hips. He brought me across the room to the big bed, the down blanket sinking underneath me as the sides billowed around me. I stretched my arms over my head, keeping my legs around his waist, and I watched him. If sex looked good on me, then it looked absolutely perfect on him. His eyes were dark, lustful, so feral. The roughness of his bushy beard matched the way he treated my body. Always desirable, always fulfilling, but always with a need and urgency that was neither delicate nor tender. At times like this, when I was so satisfied and fully desired, I couldn't believe he was mine. He moved me onto my side and slid in behind me. My leg wrapped around his as I opened my hips. He glided in and out, his hands drifting all over my body, squeezing my nipples and brushing over my clit, before he finally moved to my ass.
I've missed this.
The feeling was mutual. He hadn't spent as much time in there as he'd promised. We were always so frantic to be with each other, for him to be inside me, that this spot hadn't gotten as much attention as the others. But now he was finger-fucking my ass, moving in sync with his dick. His other arm was under my head. I leaned back so my lips could reach it. And while he was causing every nerve in my body to explode with pleasure, I gnawed on his hand. I couldn't help it. My teeth were the only thing I was able to control in that moment, and they needed to bite down on something.
Harder, he demanded.
It was a demand that made my pussy tingle even more. So I did exactly what he asked.
Fucking harder, Frankie!
As I tried to stop myself from unraveling, I licked the divots I'd made in his skin.
Your cunt is getting tighter.
I'm trying not to come. I released his skin just long enough to speak.
But this feels too good. I can't stop it.
I draped my leg farther around him until I was almost lying on top of him. The new position opened my ass even more. He moved a second finger inside me, and I began to beg for a release.
Look at me,
he commanded. I turned my head so I could meet his eyes.
I want you to kiss me, and when my tongue enters your mouth, I want to feel your cunt contract over my cock.
Then fucking kiss me, Derek. He grinned a bit before pressing his mouth against mine. He only gave me his lips, and I knew he was doing it on purpose. He was making my body build, forcing it to anticipate him, until I wanted him even more. He was thrusting into me with such speed, such intensity, that our mouths bounced with each stroke. Then his lips slowly opened a bit more, his breath increasing, my moans filling the space between us. Just when I thought I couldn't wait a second more, his tongue slid into my mouth. My body shuddered immediately, a spike of pleasure bursting in my chest and between my legs. My ass clenched around his fingers as he slowly pulled them out, every part of my body so stimulated and quivering from the release. His hand flattened against my navel, and his orgasm began spurting into me. I gave him my tongue, and he sucked the end of it before he moaned my name. It was the most erotic sound I'd ever heard. Gently pulling out of me, he rolled me onto my back and hovered over me. A thin layer of sweat covered his skin and made his body shine. I rubbed my fingers over it. I didn't know how it was possible for it to taste as enticing as it smelled, but it did.
Are you ready for more wine?
I would love more. His lips pressed against mine